jab number 3, 18 clicks, 0.25 milligrams. Charlene and I have been on Ozempic for 3 weeks now, and in this episode we're going to check in with our results and then have a conversation about prescription, pricing, and availability. It's episode 3 of Ozempic Diaries. Hi everyone and welcome back to Ozempic Diaries. This is episode 3. Charlene, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How about you?
Good. Yeah, feeling fine. Third jab last night. Feeling okay. Hit the gym this morning. Wasn't very energized for it, but got through it. You know, you struggle through. You did leg day today. And how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm fine. It was a rough one. I didn't exactly feel very energized myself, but that's just the theme of my life currently. So I'm trying to just push through it and still get to the gym. So because it was leg day, I took a pre-workout, which has creatine and some caffeine and all sorts of other things in that almost make your skin kind of tingle before the workout. And I had quite a strong coffee as well. So I think I may have had a bit of a caffeine overdose on an empty stomach. And when I wake up in the morning, I try and drink like 500 mils of water before I do anything. And then with that 500 mils of water, I have three tablets that I take. One is an antidepressant, one is magnesium, and the other one is a probiotic. And so I think with that on an empty stomach and then the caffeine overdose and then having taken a fresh jab of Ozempic last night, I had some nausea in the gym today. I was like almost gray in the face. After the deadlifts, I was like, oh, I hope I don't vomit on the floor. So that was a bit rough. But other than that, I'm good. I had three weight training workouts in the bag from last week, which I was very happy with. And yeah, overall feeling good.
Right. So let's get into our check-ins. I'm checking in our diary here. It's been a week. Last week, to catch up, I had lost 1.6 kilograms. You'd lost 4.1 kilograms, which was bananas. And you kind of predicted, here comes the plateau. Right. So let's start with you this time. What were your results this week?
So, I'm entering week 3 now. And as I expected, I had no movement on the scale. In fact, I'm 100 grams up, which I can probably attribute to holding on to some water. Friday was Valentine's Day. We went out for a really nice dinner and a wine pairing with our food. And I don't consume alcohol. I haven't for years. I did consume some alcohol in December, but as of shortly after New Year's, I haven't had a drop of alcohol. And I think having that wine, even though it was not a lot of wine, any kind of alcohol, just my body goes, whoops, inflammation, we'll hold on to some water to heal ourselves. So I didn't see a shift on the scale this week.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is a kind of like a depth charge for any kind of diet because there's all the social pressure to go out and do a thing and treat yourself and all that.
How about you?
On my side, I also had a slowdown. I only dropped 400 grams. So I went from 96.4 to 96 flat. And yeah, a little bit, you know I shouldn't be disappointed, but it's a difficult thing not to do, you know, because they say to lose weight safely, to avoid things like muscle loss or bone density loss, 1 kilogram per week is safe. That's good. So I'm now averaging 1 kilogram per week.
Yes.
And I'm intellectually fine with that, but emotionally hate it, of course. Like, you know, you're also paying quite a lot of money for Ozempic and you want to see the results and all that. But the truth is that if I lose on average 1 kilo per week for 12 weeks, I'll break the 10 kilos that we've set as the goal. So
yes,
it's fine. We'll persevere. But of course, it's frustrating. And everyone has experienced this when dieting, when you're good, because I've had one drink since the beginning of the year, I think. And I'm not a big drinker, but I do drink. And in that one glass of wine that I had, I got an immediate hangover. So that set me right off it again. Yesterday, we went to a restaurant out behind Stellenbosch, the Bunghook Chili Oil restaurant, which is fantastic. And I had a little, like one of their light, when you order off the light bites menu, then you know you're on diet. And I had a little chicken Caesar salad. and, you know, drank water all day while everyone else was having wine or cocktails, and, you know, felt quite virtuous and superior about the whole thing. And then when you step on the scale and you lost 400 grams, it's like, oh man.
And you're like, damn it.
Yeah. But you know, down is down. And you're also now averaging 2 kilos a week if you look at last week as well. So let's see what happens in the coming week. It's getting much easier to take the jab, I must say. The third one I did last night was pretty easy. Not really stressed about it anymore. Still don't like it. I don't love it, but I don't think I'm ever going to get there. Are you now, do you feel any stress at all when you give yourself an injection?
No, I don't. The second one I took, I don't know what I did, but it bruised on my belly quite a bit. I don't know if it was the way I pushed it in. So I've got quite a bad bruise still left from last week's one. So this week I did, because you alternate sides, so I was on the other side of my belly. So I try to go a bit slower because I thought maybe I went too fast, you know, piercing the skin too fast that I bruised it. And because I went slower, it was sore. It wasn't unbearable. But whereas with the previous two, I didn't even feel it go in. This time I felt the burn. I was like, oh, okay, that was a bit painful. I could feel this one. But no, not really. It goes quick, and I count down to six after the clicks of the little metered dose has gone its full way until it's at zero. I count to six, pull it out, carry on living my life.
Right. Yeah. I imagine bruising would either be like you inadvertently, you know, you either hit a blood vessel or something, this is also what I worry about, because you have to hold it in for 6 seconds and then try not to jiggle it. You know, you don't want to saw it back and forth like all the movies you've seen where someone stabs you with a sword and then they do that left and right thing. So that gives me like mild anxiety, but it's all good now. Results aside then, today we're going to have quite a short Science of Ozempic John Splained here, and we're not going to be a John Splaining. We're going to be a Charlene Splaining and John Splaining together. Prescription, availability, and pricing. You know, I roped you into this podcast, so you went second on this, but when I initially started looking around for Ozempic, I initially approached a salon, an aesthetic salon that has doctors, because they offer an Ozempic treatment. And I was wanting to do a trade exchange where I feature them on the podcast and interview their experts. And in exchange, I get free Ozempic. They didn't go for it, but it was interesting it's one way of getting a prescription. The other way is you could just go to your GP and you can get the prescription from a pharmacy. So I went for a visit to my GP and he told me that he's got quite a few patients, and we live in a small coastal town, Melkbos, outside Cape Town. And he told me that he's prescribed it quite a few times and told me about the results. And really the requirements for prescriptions seem to be a little bit up to the GP, essentially. There's no legal lower limit of BMI or anything like that, as far as I can tell. He told me 35 plus, that qualifies you for a prescription. But I think your doctor had a different measurement, right?
So my doctor didn't discuss the minimum with me. I just Googled it and found a whole bunch of different answers. So I found it said 30 as the minimum.
That seems to be the main search result.
Yes. So I Googled it before I asked my doctor about options for weight loss, because I wanted to check based on my weight whether I would be eligible, you know?
Right.
But I had been talking to her about my weight for some time because of my current perimenopause treatment that I've been working with her on since May of last year. And in early Jan, I had a sit down with her, and I was saying to her, I cannot actually deal with the weight that I'm gaining on a weekly basis, despite my best efforts. She gave me another set of treatment, and it didn't include Ozempic. Then you and I started talking, and I'd been thinking about Ozempic since the year before, but I hadn't looked into what the eligibility for it is. I have a number of friends who are on Ozempic, and I knew that it was quite pricey, and I didn't really think beyond that. And after I met with her in January, and then you and I spoke about just our journeys and our struggles with weight and so on, I went back to her and I said, can we talk about Ozempic as an option for me? What is the criteria? And she, because I also read that it is obviously your holistically, your current health history needs to be taken into account, what current medication you're on and your mental health as well.
Right.
And obviously how much weight you'd need to or want to lose or whatever. And she came back and said, I think this will definitely help you. And especially because your estrogen is currently causing you to gain weight specifically in your midriff and it affects your insulin. So I think let's prescribe a course of 6 months. And she prescribed to me the first month a 0.25 milligram dose and then from month two to go up to a 0.5 milligram dose and to continue on 0.5 milligrams for 5 months. So a total of 6 months, but never going beyond 0.5. So I imagine it has to do with just where my weight gain's coming from currently and also the other treatment plan that we have in place for my hormones and how much weight overall I need to lose.
Okay, so you've got a 6 month plan. How much did those, because you would need, I think, what, 2 pens for that? How much did that all cost in the end?
Yes, so when I spoke to the pharmacist, they said that on the it's a 3 mil pen. So on the first pen, because I'm on the smallest dosage and I'm never really going to go up to 1 milligrams, the first pen should last me roughly 2.5 months.
Right.
And that was 2,800 rand.
And then you've got a second one for the same price.
Yes, so I would, well, they gave me only one. So I have got my first pen now. And once that's finished, then he did also say to me that they recommend you don't use it beyond 6 weeks. But if you keep it well refrigerated, then you can safely use it until it's finished.
So I think I got what is considered the standard prescription, which is 1 month on 0.25, 1 month on 0.5, and then one month on 1 milligram. That's the one I've heard most commonly. And those pens, I think, cost me about 2,000. Yeah, Click sells them for 2,735 rand. So close to, very similar to what you paid. The range is very much from 2,850 to 2,700. So you can shop around, but it's, you know, it's not going to make a massive, massive difference when you look at the overall price. So I got 2 pens at once, 4 needles for both, and that's going to last me the 3 months, totaling 5,500 rand, which makes it a monthly investment of about 1,800 rand, and for you, maybe a little bit more. But I mean, that's not cheap. That is double your gym membership, which you're also paying for. So it is quite an investment, which is why when you see the 400 gram drop, you're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
So, but my plan in the conversation with my doctor, who, you know, had a long 20 to 30 minute conversation with me about the side effects and what his patients have experienced and his recommendations and all that. He also said, A, that I was more kind of researched and clued up than anyone he'd spoken to, because apparently most people just hear about Ozempic, walk into their GP's office and say, I'd like Ozempic, please, without kind of reading anything, which is insane.
That is insane to me. And I don't know, I would be too embarrassed to walk in and just ask my doctor. That I suppose it's like asking your doctor, I don't know. I wouldn't be comfortable with that. It took me months since last year. I had been considering it. And I read quite a bit. And even then, I wasn't as well sussed as you on the matter, because I kind of just put it out of my mind. Because also you read the stigma, the stuff, and you're like, okay, no, maybe, you know, maybe it's not for me.
So he was happy that he had educated me. And that's part of the process. There's the issue of availability. Right. And which also we'll talk about a little bit later in terms of stigma is availability and are we stealing Ozempic from diabetic patients? My conclusion when it comes to availability was no, because I phoned 10 pharmacies near me and 6 of them had stock and 4 of them were either expecting or said, no, we don't, you know, we haven't had any recently or whatever it might be. But within a pretty small geographic area, there were 6 pharmacies that did have stock. That was a big problem in the early days of its production, because it's so popular. Obviously, diabetics are generally getting like kind of first grab at it. And then now with the weight loss thing and the celebrity thing and everyone wanting it, Novo Nordisk just couldn't create enough of it. So in America, the FDA said, cool, that means that other laboratories can make generic versions of Ozempic until the supply meets the demand. And then when we get to that point, then we'll shut down those generics. And then once Novo Nordisk can make enough, then we'll shut those down. So that is now starting to happen. There's now enough supply. And obviously there are also, Ozempic is one of the GLP-1 family of drugs. There's like Wegovy and Tirzepatide, I think it is. There's lots of different ones made by different companies as well. So I will post on our Instagram, I'll take a screenshot of the spreadsheet I've got of the various pharmacies near me, which also includes prices. To summarize, you can get a prescription from your GP. They will have their own standards for, you know, when they will prescribe or not. They'll have a conversation with you about side effects, about how you may feel, about, you know, your goals and your mental health, as Charlene said. The prices range from, there are generics in South Africa, and if they're being sold by a pharmacy, you can trust them. I think the price that I got was $2,450 for a generic. So should be identical to Ozempic. Anyway, so I'll post on our Instagram the list of pharmacies I called and how much they they're charging. In general, we saw the 3 milligram pen, which you then break into a certain amount of clicks for each injection, and that can last you, a 0.25 can last you 2 months. Obviously, a 1 milligram course will go much faster. And then availability-wise, I think it's getting much better. Look, I'm speaking from the Western Cape, around Melkbos on the Western Seaboard. So, you know, it might differ all over the country. I'm not so sure. But I do know that manufacturing is being ramped up massively. So it's only going to get better.
In my case in Joburg, I phoned 3 pharmacies and 1 didn't have, 2 did have. Mm-hmm. And then I know that one of my friends struggled over November, December to get his prescription filled, and that then caused them to not take it. And then they were on holiday, they were away, so he wasn't really actively looking at pharmacies where they were on holiday. I think they were in the Drakensberg, so that might have added to the not being able to find it. But I do know that it is more readily available.
All right, let's go now to a story from a friend of mine, an old school friend. His name is Mark. He lives in the UK, and he has been on Wegovy for 6 months, which is the same as Ozempic. It's a semaglutide as well, and it's just a higher dose. We did this interview in a busy restaurant, so please excuse the background noise. All right, so Mark, welcome to Ozempic Diaries. This is a very weird ad hoc interview in a restaurant near my house.
Thank you, John.
You're down from the UK for a week.
I am. And before you ask me anything, I just have to tell all your listeners that the last time we met was absolutely randomly in one of the most populous cities in the world, Tokyo, in the middle of the street.
I think we're in Shibuya or something.
It was Shibuya, yeah. To bump into you, having not seen you for God knows how long, that was incredible.
It was insane. Yeah. We walked past each other on the pavement. I was on my honeymoon with Sally. And I'm not sure which one of us turned around first and went, Mark or John? I can't remember exactly the way it happened, but it was insane.
Yeah.
So
anyway, great to see you again, as it was back then.
Yeah. So Mark is here to share his story because he's been on Wegovy, which is essentially exactly the same as Ozempic. It's just prescribed at a higher dose. So so first of all, tell me about how you got to the point where you decided to take Ozempic or a version of it.
So that's a good question. I think what was going on in my life at the time is I'd had a routine sort of checkup at the doctor. My cholesterol was a bit high. And I was also acutely aware that my BMI was in the yellow zone, sort of approaching the red zone. Mm. And I've never been successful at losing weight through conventional methods. And interestingly, I had just got back from a business trip, driving my car for many hours, listening to a podcast, much like this one,
right,
about semaglutide, right, which is the peptide, effectively, in these wonder drugs. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, let's give it a go. Now, I didn't know it was quite a process that you have to go through, there's quite a few hoops you have to jump through to get it. Mm. But I went through the process and started taking it, and that was 6 months ago. So yeah, here we are today.
6 months, and how much down in that time?
So I was I was weighing in, it's 97 and a half kilograms. I'm 182 centimeters tall. Mm-hmm. I'm now 81. So whatever that math is, 16 kilograms odd, somewhere around
kilograms
there.
Yeah. In six yeah. months. I mean, that's crazy. What does that average out to? You're a technical person.
So I don't know what the average is, but I can tell you the first 4 to 6 weeks, I noticed almost no change. Right. And I was getting frustrated because I was thinking to myself, this is the wrong thing. I'm actually on Wegovy, which is not Ozempic, same thing. Mm. In the UK, they marketed differently. So Ozempic is marketed towards people with diabetes.
Right.
And Wegovy is marketed towards people who want to lose weight.
Right.
I went on the Wegovy, no change for about 6 weeks. And then I started noticing I'd lost, I think after about 2 months, I'd lost about 5 kilograms. So that first, after about 8 weeks, it just sort of flying off.
And only recently. If you take away those early weeks of no progress and then you subtract them from the 6 months, I mean, it's even more insane.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. So, although to be fair, I wasn't really measuring myself every day. So I could have started losing weight, after the fourth week or so. I don't know. But yeah, it's pretty rapid. But now I think I've started to stabilize because the last two times I've measured my weight, it's all been around 81.
Okay.
82, 81, yeah.
And did you find, I found it to be quite a subtle effect in terms of, I feel less snacky, I'm not driven to the snack cupboard every day like I normally was,
yes.
But I don't feel the sense of, I couldn't possibly eat anymore and I'm too bloated and I'm too full. What has your experience of that been?
I do have that. I do have if I eat, I guess, so a good way to sort of explain it is that there's a certain amount of calories that your body should be taking in every day, depending on your lifestyle, right? And it's almost like that's an autopilot. So if I'm not having enough, I will get hungry.
Right.
And if I'm having too much, I'll either just stop eating, or if I don't stop eating for whatever reason, I keep going, my body will expel the excess calories.
Right.
And I do get that sense of I'm too full, I've eaten too much. And it's that sort of feeling that, I don't know, if you've had a big, Sunday roast or Christmas Day, you're feeling just like you can't have any more. I feel that way with just a moderate-sized meal if I've had too much that day.
Right.
There's other stuff. So I wouldn't call them side effects. I'd call them primary effects. But I'm sensitive to certain types of food. So I'm lactose intolerant.
Okay.
I'm not gluten intolerant, but I shouldn't have. I've got a genetic marker for celiac disease, so I try avoid gluten. Mm-hmm. And I'm not very tolerant of spicy food either.
Right.
And what I've noticed with Wegovy is that if I have any of that stuff, it's amplified.
Yes,
everything is just amplified. So whereas I'd not feel well after eating a spicy meal before the Wegovy, now it's just, I can't touch it. I can't go anywhere near anything spicy, as it'll just set me off.
Yeah.
So it's all of that, the hunger suppression, your body sort of ejecting excess calories, and then feeling full if you've had too much, all of that contributes to the weight loss. Yeah.
And do you find that with rich food as well, not just spicy food?
Yes, definitely. Right. Yeah, I can't have any creams. I can't have any... and it's not like I don't like these things.
Right. Sure.
I certainly do. And again, something else for your listeners who are thinking about maybe doing this or not. It's not like it changes your desire or your pleasure from food. I don't know how it's been with you, but I don't.
Yeah.
None of that's gone away. I still enjoy a slice of tiramisu cake.
Yeah.
It's just that you crave it less.
Yeah.
I guess you'd say.
And once you're actually having it, you can't have as much.
Yes, exactly. Whereas, I remember the very first day after my first injection. It was a Friday night I took it, and Saturday morning we have a routine at home where we eat pancakes. And, pancakes are sort of 7 centimeters in diameter is the ones we make maybe at home. And I'd put back 6 of those, no problem.
Oh, there's no upper limit to how many pancakes I can eat.
even on the Ozempic. Yeah. But that day, that morning, I couldn't have more than 2.
Wow.
So it was immediate for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely immediate. And and now I'm used to that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point of these drugs is you go on a course and your body sort of gets used to eating in a certain pattern.
Yeah.
And then you sort of wean yourself off it. At least that's the theory. We'll see. I'm just plateauing now, so it'll be a while before I'm fully off it. But yeah, I'm hopeful. I don't want to be on it forever.
Yeah, I'm hoping as well to taper off to almost nothing. You know, they say it takes like 40 days to build a habit or whatever it is. So in 3 to 6 months, I'm hoping that the mind is a very powerful, you know, ruler over the body. And if it's used to going, oh, I only eat 2 pancakes, that's my identity now, is I'm a 2-pancake person.
Yes, exactly.
Then once you go off it, I'm hoping that it's not going to go back to I'm a 10-pancake person.
Yeah, I think it will, actually. I personally just feel that that habit has now been established. Mm. What I'm less happy about is different people react differently to stress in how they use food to manage stress. Some people eat less, some people eat more. I definitely eat more when I'm stressed.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that there have been times when I've skipped a week. I've been traveling or whatever. And I've noticed that comes back.
Right.
That when my levels aren't what they should be, that sort of extra bag of chips or whatever, just to, because your mind plays tricks on you, you know. And that's the bit that I'm concerned will come back the very next day after stopping the medication, yeah.
So the other question I have for you is that you've lost 16 kilograms in 6 months. Is a lot of that been muscle? Do you feel like you've lost muscle? Do you feel either any adverse side effects from rapid weight loss? Because we just did the episode about side effects. Yeah. And a lot of those are linked simply to rapid weight loss rather than Ozempic itself.
Yes, so this is probably the downside of this type of medication, is that I feel like I have lost muscle mass. Mm. And I've also gotten lazier going to gym. Right. Because, you know, my primary motivator for going to gym previously was to lose weight.
Right.
So that one shred of motivation that I used to have for going to the gym is now gone.
Right.
I still go to the gym, but less frequently than I used to. And I think the result of that is now I've lost muscle mass. Mm. So I'm trying to build that back now. Right. But I definitely feel sort of physically probably a bit weaker.
Right.
You know, mentally and state of mind, all that kind of stuff, probably better.
Yeah, I was going to say, does that matter for you? I mean, I know it will matter when you're older, when muscle mass and bone density are important for long-term survival and all that stuff. But are you, on average, do you think you're happier at a weight where you feel comfortable, even if it means losing some muscle?
I think it does matter. And I think the reason it matters is because one of the things I've noticed about losing muscle mass, it might not only be because of muscle mass, maybe other things there, but my recovery time is slower. So I saw a personal trainer at the gym 3 days ago, and I'm still recovering from that.
Right.
This is three days later, right? And it wouldn't have been like that prior.
Mm.
And I have a young child, and I want to be supple and able to play with him and do sports and stuff, and that's now harder. So I don't want that.
But not much harder than when you weigh 97 kilograms.
Yeah, you'd think not. But actually, it's the recovery time.
Right.
Right. So I just noticed that my muscles feel sore for longer.
Sure.
I mean, yes. That's how I feel now. That maybe, but just generally, you know, fitness, you know, even if I was heavier back then, I was, I had more muscle mass, I think, definitely. And that has, you know, benefits health-wise. But, you know, if you're going to weigh these things on a scale, for sure, I'm healthier now than I was 6 months ago from just through having lost the weight.
Right.
You know, my cholesterol's gone down. There's other benefits that are there. So I think that the perfect combination is to be on this medication, but then to have the discipline to keep going to the gym and keeping that muscle mass up.
Yeah,
I think that's the winning combination.
So I'm sure that would factor into the answer to this question, but if someone like you, if an old school friend like I am, came up to you and said, I weigh 97, I'm 168, I'm not comfortable, what would your advice be to, you know, to take it, to not take it, and what process would you recommend?
I wouldn't hesitate in recommending it. I wouldn't hesitate, because they, like I said, I haven't noticed any side effects. There's only been primary effects. Not all of them are pleasant. It's, you know, when you eat a teaspoon of double cream and have to go to the toilet 30 seconds later, that's not a great...
It's a funny one. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, and look, we're all different. Our bodies process things in different ways, but it is written on the box that these things can happen, right? But all of that you know, notwithstanding all of that, I'd still recommend it just to get into a healthy BMI zone. Right? Yeah. We all know the risks that come with, especially post 40s, 50s, being in the red zone for your body mass index.
Yeah.
You don't want to be there, right? And it gets, as you get older, it gets harder to stay still as far as health is concerned, right?
Yeah.
So anything you can do that doesn't have adverse effects, I would recommend. And there's been plenty of studies done on semaglutide. You know, it wouldn't have been approved by the FDA in America, by whatever the health authority is here in the UK, if there were bad effects. So it truly is a wonder drug.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Mark.
It's been great seeing you, John.
You too.
Cheers.
So great results and great insight there from Mark. And we thank him very much for his contribution. So, what's your approach in this coming week? Just keep going?
Yeah, I guess, well, I'm definitely not going to be consuming alcohol again because it's the juice is just not worth the squeeze for me. But I think still wanting to focus on increasing my protein intake. I definitely don't think that I've been consuming enough protein. And with the weight training, I really do need it. So creatine and protein and still just focusing on the weight training.
Ozempic is going to be like creatine, in my opinion. When I was about 16 or 17, there were a couple of guys in the athletics and rugby teams who just got bigger and cut suddenly. And we all went, oh, they're on creatine. And we treated it like steroids. And now it's one of the most widely consumed supplements in the world. And it is also the most well-studied supplement in the world. And it went through the same process of stigma, mythology, oh, it's going to, you know, give you cancer and all that kind of thing. So give this a couple of years, we'll be in the same spot.
Just like with the vaccine.
Yeah.
The COVID vaccine. Well,
that just goes so back and forth. There's just, oh man, the news media loves the vaccine. And America, you know, oh man, there is no truth anymore. Great. Awesome. Well, then good luck for next week. And we'll catch up in 1 week for our next entry.
Yeah. Bye.